Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Show presented by Cairn University on 610 ESPN Philadelphia and 107.5 Alive. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. Our guest this week, Jason Witten, the former Dallas Cowboy and current Las Vegas Raiders tight end, and also Gwen Rapp, the Director for Strategic Partnerships and Graduate Programs at Cairn University. Well, we've had a busy week, a busy week and a half. It's been a week and a half since we've returned from Florida. So you get home and there's a ton to do. There's so much to take care of and catch up on. Summer's here. Summer is starting.
Busy's putting it nicely.
Yeah, we wanted to get the pool open ASAP. Set up the deck so you can lounge out there in the morning and relax.
That's my favorite thing.
That's your secret hideaway.
It really is. I make my coffee and just walk over there. I'm like, ah.
Girls come down. Where's mommy? I'm like, she's outside in her favorite spot. But there was 10 hours of weeds to pull, which basically hurt every muscle that I hadn't used in my body for those 3.5 months that we were away. And then, just like every house, things start to go wrong sometimes, right? You're trying to get things ready and things start to go wrong. There's always issues. There's issues with, there's the pool, there's the filter, something's not working. And, of course, inside the house didn't want to be outdone. Like, you can't leave the inside of the house. And, and it can't, everything can't go perfectly in there either. There's got to be something. So inside the house, we had one night, we had a laundry room. One afternoon, actually, right? Yeah, it was an afternoon.
let's just tell people what had happened in the beginning of the day.
It was a laundry room.
It was a long day. No, it was a long day. The day started with the pool first.
Oh, the pool.
The day started with you trying to backwash the pool.
I forgot about
that.
What? Yeah.
That's the major.
I backwashed the pool, then broke the handle.
Yes, off the filter.
The filter valve.
You guys don't know what that is.
Yeah. It's not a good thing to break.
Not a good thing to break the handle for the filter.
You break the handle off the filter valve, and then water... at least it wasn't squirting out like crazy. It was containable even after shutting the filter off. So that started the day.
That's the day. Yeah.
Yeah. That
like,
was,
I good believe morning
it was,
to us.
Yeah, yeah. I believe it was the weekend. And then, then we had the laundry room kitchen issue where the water backed up all the way to the sink into the kitchen sink.
Listen, so now I had just cleaned the whole house. I'm walking over to put my stuff away to finally about to like sit down. I look over and the sink is filled with water.
At least it was blue detergent, laundry detergent.
Which was scary. It's very scary because I'm like, uh-oh, now what?
It could have been goo, could have been nasty stuff. At least it smelled okay.
It was weird, though. I'm looking over, I'm seeing all this blue water in the sink. I'm thinking to myself, all right, now the laundry room is probably flooded. What's up?
Yeah, thank God for that. It wasn't flooded. It was just backed up. It was stuck. There was some sort of clog. None of that's fun, though. None of it is fun. At this point, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. All I want is everything to just work properly. Right. I'm not asking for too much. Just work properly. Just if everything you have in the house works properly inside and outside, and you can go about your life and then tackle all the other things that you have to do on a daily basis. But, you know, I didn't think I'm asking too much. So I clearly wasn't a happy camper. And my reactions need work. I'm the first to admit that. And I'll tell you that my reactions sometimes need work. But you go right into battle with what really is like the greatest defense strategy because you pray about it.
And that's your
thing.
That's my go-to. I don't just pray about it. I literally say, oh, you want a piece of me? All right, let's go. Like, let's do this, you know? I get super quiet and I get super defensive in the sense of like, all right, enemy, you want to get me now? Oh, you want to play? All right, let's do this. And like, I just battle it out in prayers. And I get I get silent, but I get
better response
loud in
strategy
prayers.
Than mine. I'll tell you that. Well, so I'm going to read you from Psalm 22:24 because that's going to lead us into our topic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read it from two different translations. The NIV says, "For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. Mm-hmm. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." And then Psalm 22:24 from the Passion Translation says, "For he has not despised my cries of deep despair. He's my first responder to my sufferings. Mm-hmm. And he didn't look the other way when I was in pain. He was there all the time listening to the song of the afflicted." So when I asked you about this week's episode, you wanted to talk about Jesus as a first responder.
Yes.
And I immediately came upon this Bible verse, and I love that the Passion Translation uses the actual term first responder, because when we make God our first responder, there's nothing that he can't fix. Like, I'm over there calling plumbers, calling pool technicians, fighting stuff on my own. Meanwhile, and I pray throughout the day, but my first reaction to those issues that we were having was, who can fix it?
Right.
How can I solve it?
Yeah.
What can I do to contain it? And I'm fighting it on my own. I'm calling on the outside sources. Okay, you need a plumber here. You need a pool guy here. You need this. Meanwhile, you're over there praying, and you're Googling ways to home
do
remedy situations.
Yeah.
And we got to tell everybody how you did it, because it may help them if they have that.
Let me tell. I'm about to tell you right now the actual story, what happened.
You get better results.
Yeah.
You got better results than I did,
sure did,
because you make the Lord your first responder.
That's true.
Now, of course, I don't want to tell anyone out there that if you're having a medical emergency, not to call on first responders, not to dial 911, not to call for an ambulance or call for help.
Right.
Everyone should immediately call for help.
Right.
But don't ever forget about the power of prayer. We talk about this so often in everything you encounter, if you make Jesus your first responder.
I you know, when all this stuff happens, and I'm going to tell you guys a story, but after everything was fixed, I just heard the voice of the Lord say, you know, when I was battling stuff here on earth, when Jesus was here, he went to the mountaintop by himself and prayed by himself. And many people probably thought, like, why is he by himself? Why is he alone? Why is he silent in a way? But he wasn't. He was battling things directly. It was him and him and his father, one-on-one. No one knows what's going on. No one knows what's happening except him and the father. And I feel like he was speaking to me like, that what you did was correct. You came to me first. It was me and you. We fixed this together before anybody else. Because you didn't know that I was praying. You didn't know what I was saying. You didn't know anything. I was literally standing over the sink going,
I was too angry and irritated.
Right.
Yeah.
Going like, all right, like praying and singing a song, like heaven come here now, like heaven enter this room now and do something now. Mm. And what I was doing, guys, it was just like, I stood over that thing that you broke, the handle, and I said, hey, listen, Jesus, this is new to us. I don't know. I did not freak out at all. Like, she didn't say anything. I just stared at it and I said, oh, listen, Jesus, I don't know nothing about a filter. I don't know anything about a handle.
What also compounded the problem is I had to leave.
And you had to, all.
Yeah, this all happens like about an hour and a half before I have to go to the studio, to 97.5 The Fanatic, where I got a four-hour shift.
Yeah.
And I haven't been on the air in a month because we were in Florida and all that stuff.
Right.
So I couldn't be around either.
That
was like, oh,
yeah,
come
and on top of it all, I was like, mind you, like, okay, he's been with me for all this time. Never left, and then now that the one time he has to leave me, everything is going like crazy. So basically, God is saying, like, you really must rely on me, like 100%, because there is nobody else. And you're calling plumbers, and everybody can't come into the next day, and you're calling pool people, and they can't come into like 2 days after. And I'm going, all right, Jesus, you really have to step in right now, because one, I'm clueless when it comes to all this stuff. Two, I'm helpless. Three, I don't know what to do with, like, you know, I have my kids with me. I'm not going to run around and get like stuff from stores or whatever. Mm. I don't know what to do. And I just like, I heard a song of like, just come in, heaven come now, and just deal with things. And
who's
just,
that by? Is that Elevation?
No, that's by Tasha Cobb.
Okay.
And it is just so powerful. And I just like prayed over it. And I battle it out. I battle things out in prayers. I don't take things lightly. I just go one-on-one with the good one. You know what I mean? I go, let's do this. And then immediately, I just got this sense that says, like, go to Google, see what natural things you can do.
Yeah, how you could do this.
You can fix it. So immediately, and I know this already, I just didn't want to do it because I didn't want to make things worse. Because you know how plumbing, you can make things worse.
Yeah. Well, and when I call them and they're saying, oh, something can happen.
Wait, exactly.
Check your toilets. Yes. Nothing was going on there. So we knew it was, we knew it was limited to the one area. Then I finally come home. I think I was on 7 to 10.
Yeah,
I was on 7 to 10. And there was supposed to be a technician who can come out by 11.
Oh, yes.
Then come home, and that guy calls, and he's like, I'm still in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Right.
So I need another 90 minutes to come to your house.
Yes.
And he's like, but based on what you're describing, I need – this is about $500.
Right.
$500 to unclog a drain.
Let me tell you.
And meanwhile, Remy's
your
got
girl
her.
Was like, no way.
I was like, all right. Yeah, I said – oh, and then – I told him, okay, come tomorrow. Meanwhile, overnight, you're putting...
So the whole night you were out...
Vinegar and baking soda?
This is what I did, right? I put baking soda first and then vinegar. And then you must wait about 10 minutes, boil water, like completely boil it, and then dump it in there. And then keep repeating the cycle for like a couple times. So listen, I did this the whole night. So by the time you came home, the water completely went down.
It was down.
Like you could still see some water, but the water went down. So I'm thinking to myself, something must be working because the water was not going down at all. Now it's down.
Yeah, there's a clogging. You unclogged
it. This is the funniest part of this all because you can tell definitely God's hands was definitely there because the guy calls and he says it's $500. I'm freaking out. I'm going, no way. I'm not paying nobody to like...
Yeah,
do this.
Unclog a drain.
Unclog
that
a drain
did.
For $500. That's just insanity. And then the guy next
the next day
we wake up. I'm telling you, this is a miracle.
And it was all gone.
It was all gone.
Nothing there.
The disposer's working.
Washer's working.
Dishwasher is working fine. It was a straight up miracle. And then some guy shows up. A plumber shows up the next day. This was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, because I had called four.
You did.
I had called four.
You
can come?
You went crazy.
I forgot to cancel that one.
Right.
So the guy knocks on the door, and he knocks on the door, and I'm like, it's all good. Yeah. Everything's good. My wife fixed it. We ran the washer. Washer's working. No water's backing up. Everything's fine. He's like, oh, you mind if I take a look? I'm like, not if you're going to charge me, because I had no idea what he's going to charge me.
It was hilarious.
He's like, no, I'm just going to take a look at it. He looked at it, and he's like, that's great that your wife used the natural stuff. So this is a lesson for everybody out there. Don't quickly go to the chemicals.
No.
The Drano and the liquid plumber, he specifically said,
could
have caused more issues for you.
Yeah, she's not supposed to use the Drano with a disposal. Never do that. That's something I already know.
Well, I'm glad you read that up. So there you go. But you
call
solved
me,
the
plumber
problem.
Remy, though.
There you go. You solved the issue, but you did it by calling. Your first response was to pray.
Absolutely.
To be calm about it, to reach out to the Lord, your first responder. Now, this is just a situation that is a household issue, right? The pool situation, the kitchen sink issue. But in our lives, we need to call on the Lord first in everything. And that's where the lesson is. Like in everything, all day long.
Yeah.
Whatever we come across, whatever the problem, again, unless it's a medical emergency, yes, continue your prayer. Call on the Lord. Hopefully he can intervene.
Not hopefully, he will.
He will.
Here's the thing, all this.
There's sometimes, the positivity. I love it.
Sometimes people would like question, what do you mean just call on the Lord? Like, don't you have to do something physical? Yes, here's what happens. Here's like how this whole thing happens. You pray. And the Holy Spirit downloads information, downloads ways for you to do something. So what happened was I got the sense, that sense that I got was the Holy Spirit nudging me going, hey, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? That's the physical part of the prayer that people usually miss because we always say, well, prayers, you know, they're helpless. You know, you just like pray. No, no, no. If you believe, you will receive. So if I believe that God will download an answer to my problem, he will. And he does that by nudging you to do something or directing you to do something. Or you know what? I believe 100% that he delayed the plumber so he doesn't come that day to save me $500.
Yeah,
that's 100% a prayer.
He was supposed to be there. He was running 2 hours late, then another 90 minutes late. Then by that time, you had solved the situation.
Right.
Whereas I would have been like, if he could be over here in 30 minutes.
Imagine if he was going to be there. You know what I mean?
I would have been out $500 just so somebody can unclog a drain.
That I did myself.
But the thing is about you and about prayer is that you're consistent. You're consistent.
Very,
and you're not only calling on the Lord in time of need, you're grateful and thankful and praising him all the time.
Yep.
And that's something that we try and impress upon the girls every night. Yeah. I always say to them, before we ask for anything, say thank you for everything.
Yep.
Run down the list. And sometimes that leads one of them, Alexia specifically, to be very detailed in her thanks. But that's great. That's great.
Just like
run it all down.
Yeah.
But if you're consistent in prayer, if you're thankful for everything and grateful for everything, that allows you to have that faith that when you need first responder type help, even in minor situations, you're calling on the Lord and he will help you through it. He will guide you through it. He will help you find a way.
You know, also one thing I just thought of, it's kind of like you have a friend, right? And, and you know this friend, you know him, but you don't have constant relationship, right? You can't necessarily call on that friend if something goes down or you need to move or something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you did not build that relationship. You did not, you weren't invested.
Well, we all have those friends who only call you when they need something, right?
But you
don't want to be that friend.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to be that friend.
Yeah, who
but
does
then
that
you
to people.
If you
so don't
have,
be that way to Jesus.
Exactly. So my relationship is constant with him. Like, to me, he's definitely my friend. So when I call on him as a first responder, he answers. Because I have built that relationship. And I'm not saying he prefers one way or whatever, but I'm just saying your relationship will be different. And his response to you will be very different because he already knows you very well and you already know him very well. So my first response is prayer because I have done that over and over and over. It's a constant thing.
It's ingrained in you. It's part of you. It's who you are.
So it's not like, oh, something's going down. I'm going to have to pray now and then wait for the answer. No, I already know what to do. And the response comes right away because I really know. Like, I listen. I've trained myself to listen to the Holy Spirit to see, like, what he's saying.
Whereas I have to fight pride. Because when something goes wrong, I want to fix it. How can I fix it? How can I handle it? Who can? Yeah, what can I do to make it better? Mm-hmm. Instead of calmly looking at it from a perspective like you do and saying, hey, God, nothing is too big for you. I always have battled this and battled the, I don't want to bother the Lord for minor things here that I can handle.
I'm only going to
save the big stuff for him. And that's a constant thing with me because I fail to call upon God, when I need him just for the minor things, like I can have a daily conversation, but sometimes I'm like, ah, I got this. And when I think I got this, it goes like haywire.
Right. Because he's actually in the little stuff
more
than he is in the big stuff. He loves to come through for you in the little stuff to show you that he's really always there for you. And he loves you so much to the point that like if you get a splinter, he wants to help you get it out.
We don't even have time to get into the thorns that I pulled out at midnight.
I talked about them on the air
the other day. Let me read this one more time, though. Psalm 22:24, the Passion Translation, before we get to a break. For he has not despised my cries of deep despair. He's my first responder to my sufferings, and he didn't look the other way when I was in pain. He was there all the time, listening to the song of the afflicted. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. When we come back, you're going to hear from Jason Witten. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University, 610 ESPN Philadelphia, 107.5 Alive. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonafieldshow.com. You can find every show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list, and we'll send you our episode right to your inbox. We love to read your messages, so keep on sending those. We appreciate you sharing our episodes also and telling anyone and everyone about Faith on the Field. Make sure you also follow us on all social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Motti, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events we're hosting. You can go to my YouTube channel and listen to a couple of my recent messages also. Our first guest this week is a certain future Pro Football Hall of Famer, Jason Witten. Jason is an 11-time Pro Bowl pick and 2-time All-Pro tight end who played 16 seasons for the Dallas Cowboys. He retired after the 2017 season, joined the broadcast booth for Monday Night Football, returned to the field last year, and plans to play at least another season after signing with the Raiders in free agency. Jason will go down as one of the greatest to ever play his position. He's an excellent leader in the locker room, one of the most well-respected players around the league, and a man of God. Here is some of my conversation with Jason Witten.
How do you look at the evolution of that position, the tight end position, because it's becoming a bigger and bigger part of the offense, and you're a huge part of that because you're one of those guys who was heavily featured in the offense, and do you take pride in being someone who maybe is somewhat of a trendsetter at that position?
Yeah, I do take a lot of pride in that. You know, I mean, I feel like the position has completely evolved over the last 15, 20 years, you know, and I mean, Tony Gonzalez deserves a lot of that credit. But I think the interesting part about playing the tight end position is it is an every down player. You know, is the consistency that it takes to do it as a blocker and as a receiver. And that's not as easy as you think. And so, it's something that I try to hang my hat on. And, I know nowadays more and more players are trying to do that.
What was this season like for you? I mean, you took the year off. You're doing Monday Night Football. You're doing this. You're on the other side of the media. First of all, did you enjoy that?
I did. You know, I mean, I think even though it's football, it's different. It's a different career. So I enjoyed being around so many talented people. There was a lot of humility that came with that and, you know, the experience. But there was I had a great time. And, you know, not only was I a better football player, but I was a better person because of that experience that happened in my life. And I think more than anything else is just the opportunity to get back there and play. There was something every night, you know, when I left the game saying, man, this is great in the booth, but I can be out there playing, you know, and I just kind of trusted my gut on that, knowing that obviously I couldn't do that much longer. I wanted to take advantage of it.
How disappointing was the season, the way it finished out in a NFC East that was really up for grabs, and you guys lost out to the Eagles in there. Obviously, it cost Jason Garrett his job, and nobody wants to be part of that. I'm sure you have a close relationship with him. How disappointing was that for you guys?
Very disappointing. You know, I think more than anything, it's just not only did we underperform, but we had multiple opportunities. Philly was struggling too, so the division was wide open. And, when you have that many opportunities, you just feel like if we can just get in, because at times we played at a really high level. It just wasn't consistent enough. And, you know, when you don't win, changes come. And it's tough to see that happen to Jason and a lot of the coaching staff, but that's the reality of this business, you know. So that was disappointing, 8-8 for that talent level and that football team. We definitely underperformed.
Well, you talked about humility a few minutes ago. I know you as a man of faith. How much did your faith, your strength, and knowing that your foundation is in the Lord and not really in what people say about you and how people critique you help you through what was a humbling experience for you?
Yeah, it was my rock, you know. It was the foundation that you have to, when you not only were you doing a different career in life, but you're doing it in front of 20 million people, you know. And I think your faith is tested, and you know, you're reminded that is your foundation is in Jesus, not in what a rating or what other people are saying. And so I was reminded of that. I think it was tested, but I'm just been so blessed, and I am. I'm better as a man and the opportunity that I had to go through that.
Well, there's a great Bible verse that says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord, and he will lift you up in due time. So you don't know what the future is going to hold. But at some point, those experiences, I'm sure you look at it like that experience prepared me for the future, whatever I may do.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, well, Jason Witten, thank you so much for joining us, and we really appreciate it. And good luck on the future, man.
All right,
God
thank
bless.
You, man. Appreciate you.
That was former Cowboys and current Raiders tight end Jason Witten. Jason talked about the humbling experience in the broadcast booth. He was learning on the job in one of the highest profile spots in sports television, Monday Night Football. Being humbled, whether it's on a national scale like it happened for him in front of millions of viewers, or if it's in a smaller setting, it's a great learning experience for humility, because humility leads to godly interaction with others. And Jesus is the supreme example of humility. His life on earth, his attitude of being a servant, coming to serve others and not to be served, he taught us how to be humble. Another example in the New Testament is Paul. He had to be humbled to learn the truth of who Jesus is. When we're humbled, when we approach life with an attitude of humility, that really does lead to godly interaction with others, because it allows us to be the opposite of prideful. It allows us not to be, you know, if you're humble, we're not too proud. We're not too arrogant. We don't have selfish nature. So sometimes it's difficult because you take yourself out of your comfort zone, and he did, off the football field, and goes into the broadcast booth with no experience whatsoever. Right. And now suddenly he's on Monday Night Football where everybody's watching and he's making some mistakes, and people are just saying, like, what was ESPN thinking putting him in the broadcast booth?
Right.
It's a very humbling experience, but you grow from that. You learn from that. And I think sometimes we think we're ready, but even if you think you're ready, you may not be prepared. Right. And there's a difference between feeling like I'm ready for this, but then being prepared for it. And and God has his plan and his timing. So being humble is being, having humility really helps lead to a godly interaction with others.
I think you can also learn a lot when you're humble, because if you feel arrogant and or you act arrogant, you nobody can ever teach you anything. And if you think you're unteachable or you've learned everything, life will have a way of teaching you something. And it's not going to be an easy lesson. It's going to be a hard lesson, because being humble is the number one thing for God to reach you and for you to reach others. Because if I'm trying to teach you something and I'm very arrogant about it, you're not going to learn anything. You're just going to learn one thing. I'm very arrogant. Yeah. But if I'm humble about it, you will hear from me and you will use your platform a lot better and wiser if I'm humble than if I'm arrogant, because you're trying to connect with people by being humble. You're not trying to connect with them while being arrogant.
Well put. Well said. Up next, we're going to hear from Gwen Rapp, the Director for Strategic Partnerships and Graduate Programs at Karen University. You're listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith Little Field Show presented by Karen University on 610 ESPN Philly and 107.5 Alive. Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome, wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Restelli Foods Group, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. We continue Karen Month on Faith on a Field Show with another special guest from the university. Gwen Rapp is Director for Strategic Partnerships in Graduate Programs. That is a long title. Gwen, first off, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure being here with you today.
Appreciate it. Tell me a little bit about your role in the admissions department.
Yeah, well, I'm a little biased, but I think I work in one of the neatest areas of the university. First off, we have just a fantastic team that are very committed to the university you know, we all, everybody, of course, appreciates the paycheck, but nobody is working in my department because of that. You know, we're all here because, you know, we're either an alum who's personally benefited from the value of the university experience, or, you know, we've just been so attracted to the mission and just the purpose of why Karen exists that it's just a joy to be able to invite students who, you know, in such a formational time of their lives to benefit from that same experience. So so we just have, you know, a great time, and it's such a purposeful work down here at Mission. But I think my role is particularly an exciting and just a rich one because, you know, I do support our graduate admissions team to recruit for our program. And, you know, we're just in that nature of work, we're supporting, you know, biblically minded, you know, believing professionals who are seeking to continue to increase their skills and just, you know, work towards goals that they can continue to serve their populations and just well. And they, you know, our graduate students, and I could say the same thing for our undergraduate students, they really just are desiring to serve Christ wherever God's placed them. And to be a part of that journey to help equip and prepare them, it's just a very rich, just a very rich opportunity. But the other half of my work is, and this just ties also to the university's heart to be a resource. You know, Karen, we're filled with faculty and staff who are investing in the students we have, but the university over the last 5 or 10 years has really started to be very intentional to cultivate relationships with like-minded institutions around the world, with the perspective that, you know, we want to broaden the ways that we can be a resource to organizations serving the kingdom, and to help equip and prepare their staff and their volunteer bases and their families for the work that God has called those organizations to. So out of that heart and that extension of our mission has come this partnership program that's now based in our work down in admissions to offer everything from scholarships and discounts to our different partners, to even organizing ways for our students to intern and to volunteer with these different organizations. You know, it's when I came on to the university a few years ago, one of my first projects with a partner was to coordinate student mission trips to go over and serve with one of our dearest, at least one of my dearest partner organizations over in Egypt. So, and this is the fourth year in a row now that we've taken a student team, and we have so many students every year who return with us and have cultivated, you know, friendships and just, you know, beyond the trip experience itself. So on a variety of levels, I think I've just got a pretty awesome job here.
Wow. And so you mentioned Egypt. My wife, Remy, who is a co-host on this show, was born and raised in Egypt, moved here at 16 years old. Have you?
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Have you personally been on those trips?
Yeah. Yes. I'm fortunate to be the trip leader for the Egypt trip, but it's, wow. And it's neat because the universe, I've got the privilege of being the Egypt trip leader, but it's pretty common for faculty and staff across the university to be able to pioneer and initiate these types of opportunities for our students. And the university has been fully supportive of that for me, but also for many others. So it's another one of the neat features that Karen provides, not just for students, but, you know, opportunities for faculty and staff to lead and to maximize on the networks that God's blessed them with as well.
Well, she's always telling me about at some point wanting to take me and my daughters, our daughters, there at some point. So maybe we can, do you have any plans in the future for Karen University to go there again?
We're planning on it.
Yeah.
Right now, we're
awesome.
Just waiting for some things around the current COVID epidemic to settle out. But I'll tell you, as soon as we have the okay, we will be planning away for a trip either, you know, later this fall or next spring at some point is our hope.
Awesome. Well, we'll keep in touch and stay, keep me posted.
No, we'd love to have you.
Keep me posted on that. You mentioned COVID-19, and everyone I've spoken to at Karen University has had to, so it's impacted all of us in different ways, and it's impacted all of you and how you're doing your job. How has it been challenging for you, and I feel like in every challenge and in every difficulty in life, there's always a silver lining and there's always something positive that comes from the negative. So how have you seen that manifest?
That's a great question. I could probably identify a few different areas down in admissions that we've, you know, seen different innovation come out of our teams, or just ways that our partners and our even prospective students are stepping up. But I think my favorite example coming out of the season would be something that admissions has done in partnership with our schools. So just as a way to support professionals and families, you know, our faculty have been offering throughout the summer, and we still will continue to do that over the next couple of months, regular webinars that are free resources that just target the different needs or pain points that our communities are navigating right now. So an example would be we're launching a Master of Social Work program this coming fall and are actively recruiting for that. And one of our faculty members in the School of Social Work stepped up and said, hey, I would love to help you organize a webinar that aids parents in how to support kids struggling with anxiety while they're at home. You know, we think about just families and the economic and, you know, just schedule impacts for parents and professionals. But, you know, you have these parents who are also trying to support their kids and for many of them, in very new ways than they've needed to in the past. So we've been offering about every other week or so these webinars, and we've just gotten such a positive response, and it's turning into now, it was just a pilot kind of summer resource offering, and we're going to be looking to continue these now ongoing throughout the year. And it's just, it's been really neat to see how our team have come together, but also just the response that we're getting from our communities.
That's great to hear. I spoke to Tom Scherf last week about Karen's online program. I know that the number of the online graduate programs is growing. Can you share some of those with us and talk about the online graduate process?
Sure. Yeah, we have a variety of online graduate offerings coming out of most of our schools at this point. So you can find both certificate level programs, continuing education opportunities, and full degree programs in the schools of education, divinity, social work, counseling, and business. And over the last 5 years, the university's been continually either transitioning our programs to online offerings, as well as adding on new programs in addition to those. So the best way to be able to breeze through and just look at a deeper level into any of our programs would be to visit our website, which is www.karen.edu. From there, you can navigate to any of our on-campus or online offerings in all of our schools. I think what makes Karen stand apart is, regardless if it's an online or an on-campus program, and whether you're talking about an undergraduate or a graduate offering, what holds everything together is the mission to have, you know, a Christ-centered education that's about more than a credential. You'll find high faculty investment in all of our courses and our programs. At the same time, we try to make our programs as flexible and affordable as possible, because we recognize that most of our populations, particularly for graduate programs, are working adults who have families and a variety of other responsibilities as well. So this fall we're launching our Master of Social Work program, and we haven't quite unveiled the next couple yet, but we have a few coming down the pike in the next year or so to keep a lookout for as well.
That's awesome. Tell us a little bit about your work with partnerships and the grad programs.
Right. So it's actually a beautiful way that it works, because, you know, Karen, as we seek to be a resource to like-minded kingdom-serving organizations, I coordinate pretty often with our faculty members to provide professional and ongoing development opportunities for our partner staff. Oftentimes we'll support with speaking at conferences. It involves a lot of offering of special discounts and scholarships. And then also in the range of, you know, think creative projects such as mission trips and study abroad programs or just different internships. And the variety of organizations we work with can range from anything from a camp to a parachurch ministry. We work alongside a lot of churches, as well as Christian schools and charter schools down in Philadelphia. And we're always looking to expand the ways that we can work with institutions like this. So I would encourage, you know, if anybody's listening to this and says, hey, you know, what you're describing, the way that you support and serve your organization partner sounds awesome. We'd love to explore that. I would be more than happy to speak with anybody about, you know, whether the way that we approach partnerships would be a good fit for their organizations as well.
What's the best way for them to go about that, to reach you, or who should they contact?
Yep, you can always get a hold of me just by emailing admissions@cairn.edu and just referencing interest in a partnership. And then that email will find its way to me.
Outstanding. Now, you also, so you went to Cairn. What went into your decision when you decided, hey, this is where I want to go pursue my education? And what was the experience like for you? Obviously, you had to like it so much that you're back there and you're working at Cairn. Initially, what went into your decision? Why did you choose Cairn?
That's a great question. You know, I'm the oldest child in my family. So we had no idea what we were doing during the college search process. I think I was most of the way through my senior year before I even thought about visiting a college. And, you know, the colleges on my list were my dad's alma mater maybe three other schools that I'd heard of. And I'd happened to put Cairn on my list because my field hockey coach in high school, her daughter attended Cairn, which was PBU at the time. So I didn't know anything about Cairn, but I said, all right, you know, I trust my field hockey coach. I'm going to add it to the list. And it's amazing how when you step foot on campus, and I would encourage any families, you know, as you have the opportunities in the coming months, as you're looking for colleges for your kids, I always encourage families to visit campus because that was the deciding factor for me. I visited 4 or 5 different institutions over the course of like 3 weeks. And everyone, you know, regardless of how they sounded on paper, had a very different feel and a sense of community on campus. And, you know, it sorted through and they all had pros and cons. You know, I liked the field hockey program at one, the campus at the other was gorgeous. The third one was perfect in almost every way, but it was, you know, farther than what my family was interested in. And then we visited Cairn and we had a, you know, just a personal visit, came on campus. I got to sit in the chapel and just watch the college worship band up front and listen to one of the faculty members just share out of God's word. And what really struck our family is we're sitting down and the student that we sat down next to turned around to us and said, hey, are you guys visiting campus today? We're so glad to have you here. And just I was taken aback by the friendliness and just the welcoming atmosphere. Yeah. So between that and, you know, getting to sit down and talk with the dean and one of the student leaders on campus for one of the entrepreneurial clubs, it just, we walked away feeling this is a campus where, you know, God is present. There's real community and they are about formation and high quality education, but formation, spiritual based formation for the students. And you know, we walked off, looked at each other and said, this is the place. And my experience is incredibly rich.
And here we are a few years later and you're back.
And here we are.
Yeah. And you're working. How rewarding is that though, that you got your education at Cairn and now mm-hmm. you're there and you're bringing people in, you're helping the university continue its growth and everything that you're doing there. How rewarding is that for you to know that this is more than just a school that gave you a mm-hmm. piece of paper to hang on a wall? This is more like family, career, everything.
Yeah, I would say that's exactly what it is. I consider it a privilege to work mm-hmm. here. And I thoroughly enjoy the people I get to work with. And every one of us is committed to the mission behind the work that we do.
How excited are you that Dr. Williams announced recently that school will be open this fall, and you're going to be welcoming kids onto campus. And as far as right now, we can hopefully, with things don't change and another wave doesn't come. But how exciting is that after the challenges that we faced and having to cut school short in the spring semester?
Oh my goodness, we are so pumped. You know, just in general, when it gets, you know, summer rolls around and the students have left, that just sudden change between the life and the energy that they bring and the quietness on campus is almost eerie quiet. It feels too empty, you know, so we are all celebrating the day when we can open the doors and welcome the students back. And that's why we do what we do. So we cannot wait.
Well, Gwen, I hope everything works out for Cairn University this fall, for all of us this fall, this summer, as we continue to navigate those challenges. But thank you so much for spending some time with us here and being our final guest on a beautiful month celebrating Cairn University on Faith on the Field show. Last but certainly not least, Gwen, we really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Rob. It's been a pleasure.
Great to have Gwen Rapp, the Director for Strategic Partnerships and Graduate Programs at Cairn University. Really enjoyed Cairn Month on Faith on a Field show. We had Cairn's Assistant Vice President for Enrollment, Tom Scherf, Athletic Director Jay Butler and his wife Tammy, who is Cairn's Vice President of Philanthropy, Women's Lacrosse Coach Deanna Thorpe also joined the show, and Dr. Todd Williams, the University President, helped us kick off Cairn Month. Thank you also to Jason Witten for being a guest this week. Big thanks to Doug Horton, our EVP of Business Operations, for all of his wonderful work. Big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for all the excellent work he does with our website and podcast. And thank you to our producer, Ryan Lennox. Thank you also to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.